This last week has been a little bit crazy. I personally have lived through hurricanes and have seen flipped schedules and been displaced from our home multiple times, and have seen jobs and careers flipped completely upside down due to natural disasters and things like that happening. But this that's happening right now is really wild. It's a little crazy. And I've got good news and I have bad news. I assume you want the bad news first. The bad news is that there is more coming. We're still in the thick of this. The numbers of those infected in the state of Georgia are doubling just about every day as finally the test kits arrive and more test results come in. So the bad news is that we've got another little while of this, and some self-quarantine and some social distancing going on. But here's the good news. The good news is that we're going to be okay. You right there with your family, you sitting by yourself at the dinner table watching this live today, we are going to be okay. I want you to believe that today. I want you to feel that today in your heart. I want you to know that in your mind. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about how easy it is to allow our circumstances or to allow the unknown in our lives to dictate our faith. It's easy to let what's happening around us, to let what's going on around us determine whether or not we're going to believe God and stand strong in our faith. I know there are lots of unknowns right now. I know there are many, many questions these days. I understand that the fears are real. So I'm going to talk to you today about certain uncertainty. Certain uncertainty. There's a story in Mark chapter 4 that I want to read. If you have a Bible close by, or if you want to grab another device and go to your Bible app, you can follow along. But Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat as he was. They took just Jesus and the disciples, get into a boat, and there were other little boats that were with him. Verse 37 says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling." The waves are crashing. Now, I want you to get this scene today, because Jesus has been teaching and he has been performing miracles, and the disciples are witnessing all of this. They are experiencing all of this. They have front row seats to the best of the best. I mean, they are eyewitnesses, and it's incredible what they are allowed to see up close and personal. But he finishes his assignment on this side of the lake and says to them, "I want to go to the other side. I've got other business. I've got other ministry to do on the other side of this lake." And that is very important to me, because in just a few moments, in just a few hours, the disciples are going to see their lives flash before their eyes. All hope that they would live to see another day is going to be lost, and they're going to lose their minds in just a few moments. It's kind of the way you and I have been feeling the last few days. You see, the disciples got into the boat on purpose, just like you and I began 2020 in purpose. They got onto the boat. They got into the boat and said, all right, we're going to go to the other side. They didn't count on the storm. They didn't count on the wind. They didn't count on the waves crashing and beating into their boat. They didn't count on their ship filling up with water, just like you and I, when we began this year, did not count on COVID-19. We didn't count on a coronavirus. We didn't count on kids being out of school for weeks and weeks and the uncertainty of when they will even return. We didn't count on being laid off or furloughed or losing our job in this season. Maybe your boat has been filled with so much negative news until you feel as though you are sinking. But you got to remember, Jesus said, we're getting in this boat to go to the other side. When you began 2020, when you started this year, it was so that you could get to the other side of this year, so that you could get to the end of this year, so that you could get all the way to December 31st, 2020, and look back and say, wow, what a year this has been. There were some highs, there were some lows, there were some ins, some outs, some ups, some downs. There was some crazy, there was some calm, but I purpose to get to the end of this year better and stronger and more equipped and more spiritually mature. I just didn't realize that this March storm, I didn't realize that this coronavirus storm was going to show up in my life. And so the disciples are feeling some kind of way about their decision to have even started this journey. They are questioning everything. I knew this wasn't a good choice. I knew this wasn't a good idea. We should have never gotten into this boat. We're fishermen. We knew there were storm clouds that looked ominous. We should have never done this. Wait just a minute. Where is Jesus? We're out here freaking out, feeling as though we're about to die, knowing this boat is sinking. Where is Jesus? Verse 38 says that he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Side note for all of you having church at home today. If Jesus ain't sweating, you shouldn't either. If Jesus isn't worried, you shouldn't be worried either. Can I tell you today that Jesus is not worried? Coronavirus, COVID-19, every press update, every single day, none of this has taken him by surprise. If he can stay calm in the storm, so can you and I. If he can sleep in the storm, so can you and I. But the Bible says that the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" They didn't take from his sleep that everything was going to be all right. They didn't take from his sleep that everything was going to end up good. No, they freaked out and they said, "Do you even care?" As if one unpleasant circumstance in my life defines God. As if one 7-day quarantine determines whether or not God is good to me. As if one unpleasant situation in my world determines his goodness. Listen, the Lord is still good. You need to know this today. Whether there's corona, whether there's COVID-19, listen, let them find COVID-20. God will still be good. He's still worthy of praise. He's still worthy of our amen. You ought to type amen in the comments right now and say, yeah, I hear you. God is still good. I let my mind get crazy for a moment. I got distracted by all the negativity, all the water coming into my boat. But I just remembered God is still good if you believe that, say amen right where you are. But I understand today it's easy. It's easy to let our circumstances dictate our faith. But I refuse, COVID-19 or not, I refuse, quarantine or not, I refuse, 10 people in the room or not, I refuse to be a fair weather believer. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Jesus, do you not care? We've got all of this uncertainty in our lives. Things are falling apart so fast. I don't know if I'll have a job next week. I don't know when the kids are going to go back to school. My money is acting funny all of a sudden. There is so much uncertainty in my life. But in verse 39, the Bible says that he arose. it's important. He arose. Listen to me, America. Listen to me, world. Listen to me, you in a far country that somehow found this stream, or maybe friend that was invited to a watch party, or someone in our community that this is the first time you're even finding out who our church is. Listen to me. We need to get the Lord to stand up. Then he arose. If we can get the Lord to stand up in our lives, if we can get the Lord to stand up in our community, if we can get the Lord to stand up in America, everything is going to change for the better. If we can get his attention, the Bible says that he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And immediately, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I want to assure you today, I want to say loud and clear for you today that there will be calm again in your life. There will be peace in our community again. Normal will come find us again, I assure you. We're uncertain right now how long this will last, or who we know that may test positive for COVID-19. There's lots of uncertainty, and it's unnerving, and there's nothing fun about it. But hear me. Jesus said to them, and I believe says to every single one of us today, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And the Bible said they feared exceedingly. That means a whole lot. They were overcome with fear. So let me give you three fear facts today. I'm almost done with our teaching today, but here are three fear facts. You can write these down on a scratch piece of paper because they're going to help you in the coming days. Number one, fear breeds more fear. Fear breeds more fear. You got to make sure you're talking to the right people in this season. If you have two or three friends that just, you know, overreact and freak out every time there's news, you might ought to dial back how much you talk to those two or three friends. Find you some positive people that can speak faith to you, because fear breeds more fear. Number two, fear clouds our judgment. We don't make our best decisions in fear. Right now, with the stock market down on the bottom, plunging, dropping more than 10,000 points in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Right now is not the time to sell out of the stock market. We don't make good decisions when we're in fear, because fear clouds our judgment. Number three, fear redirects energy. Fear redirects energy. What does that mean? Instead of worshiping God, I worry. Instead of giving God praise, I focus on the pain that I'm feeling, the uncertainty that I'm feeling. It redirects my energy. I'm hoping today your fear, your inner energy gets redirected, and instead of worrying so much, you begin to worship and you start seeing the silver linings of spending more time with your family, the opportunity to get those projects taken care of around the house, to finally clean out the closet that you've been fussing about for the last 7 or 8 years. Look at the good. Look at the positive. Redirect your energy. Jesus is asking why they are so fearful. Sometimes a question will reset us. Sometimes a question will stop us in our tracks. You remember when you were a kid and you were doing something wrong. I've probably got some church kids watching me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You can be doing something wrong and your parent will say, "What are you doing?" You just stop. Wherever you are, you stop. The question arrests you. The question gets your attention. And oftentimes, kid, you don't even have to answer that question. You've already determined that your behavior is going to change just because of the question that was asked to you. But no, the disciples, the Bible said, feared exceedingly. They were overcome with it. And they said one to another, "Who can this be? Who is this? And even the winds and the wave would obey him." You see, their uncertainty made them question the only certain thing in their lives. I want you to catch that. I'm going to say it again. Their uncertainty, the things swirling around them, the things happening around them, the uncertainties of their lives caused them to question the only certain thing in their lives. I call it progressive uncertainty. Just a few moments ago, they were asking where Jesus was. They knew exactly who he was. The storm was rocking their boat, and they were taking on water, and they knew exactly who Jesus was. They went to wake him up to see if he could do anything about it. But in just a few moments, more wind, more waves, more water on the boat, and now their uncertainty has caused them to question who they already know in their heart Jesus is. You know why? Because fear unchecked becomes uncertainty about everything we know to be true. Fear unchecked becomes uncertainty about everything we know to be truth. So let me close with this today. The only thing certain in your life and in mine is Jesus. The only thing absolute in your world and in mine is Jesus. We're facing so many things right now. So many things are happening in our lives. There are so many uncertainties, and right now it's brewing big. There are so many unknowns. So you can't focus on the uncertainties. You have to focus on the one thing that is certain in your life, and that is Jesus. Because there are many answers that I don't have. There are many, many answers that I don't know. But here's one that I absolutely know for a truth. In all of my uncertainty, I can count on Jesus. You can too. In all of the uncertainty you're facing right now, you can count on Jesus. Dad, reach out to your kids right now. Reach over to your wife right now. If you're watching this holding your phone, just reach up and lay hands on your own head right now. And tell yourself, God is the certainty in my life. And I know that everything is going to be all right. Maybe today you need to redirect energy. Maybe today you need to have a reset of the fear that has overcome you. Today you need to follow Jesus. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for everyone watching this today, whether you are a part of our church or whether today is a brand new experience for you. I want to pray for you. At home, we call this a yes moment. We have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. We have the opportunity to say, you know what, Lord? I am responding to your word. I'm responding to the truth that I've just heard. And I am saying yes. If you're watching today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you know you can do that right now. You say, but Pastor Darrell, there's no altar here. I'm not dressed in a suit. I don't have a church bulletin in my hand. It doesn't matter. Bacon could be frying in the kitchen, but you've got enough time to pray with me right now and everything change in your life. Would you do that? Would you bow your head right where you are? You can pray your own words or you can borrow mine. Pray something like this. Say, Jesus, there's a lot of uncertainty in my life. There's a lot of things swirling and happening, and I don't understand it all. But today, I want to be grounded in you. I want to stand on your word. I want to put my faith in your promise of salvation. Today I repent of my sin. Today I turn from every uncertain way that I know is not of you. And today I say yes. Today I give you my heart. I give you my life. Today I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, something shifted, something turned in your life. In fact, if you've prayed that for the first time, or if it's been a long, long time since you have prayed and put your faith in Jesus, I want you to be bold enough. I want you to be brave enough just to type follow in the comments. Just say follow, and we're going to know exactly what that means. Today, you followed Jesus. And if you'll type the word follow or send us a message at the Church Covington, we want to put this resource in your hand. If you'll send us the message or if you'll type follow, someone from our team will connect with you and get an address where we can mail you this book called Following Jesus. It's